Welcome to Yarns at Yun Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 20, Solstice and Solace. Sunday, December 22nd, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah. And instead of podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House today, I'm sitting at Shawnee by the Delaware River. It's about 60 degrees, even though we've had 3 snowfalls so far this December, which is very unusual. And perhaps you can hear some of the ambient sounds. There are ducks and geese on the river, although I can't see them because a terrific fog has rolled in. I think it's a result of the snow-covered ground and the much warmer air. And it's really impossible to see anything except what's right in front of you. So I'm down along the river near the Shawnee Inn, sitting on a bench and bringing you this podcast just before Christmas. This episode will feature segments titled The Back Porch, The Front Porch, Off the Shelf, Ever Expanding Skill Set, and Double Happiness. This week I heard from listeners Grace, who is Grace from the Juniper Grace Tube video podcast, Jan Marie, Pages and Cream, who's Kat from Brooklyn, Camarina, who is Heather, Chain of Fools, Emily from Washington, D.C., The Yarn Goes On, Lisa Marie from Wisconsin, and Lynn 862, who is Lynn from Idaho. I also had a new iTunes review since I last recorded, and this is from Shimster, who said, "The Yarns at Yun Hu podcast is highly recommended." Thanks for that review. There are still a few days left to get in on our Little Things contest. 17 entries have already been submitted. The contest ends January 4th. What you need to do to enter is let Yarns at Yun Hu listeners know about something little, something small that you do to stay sane and stay relaxed and smiling during the crazy holiday season. A randomly selected winner will receive a little selection of goodies from Sherry at Spinners End Farm. And these are luxurious body pampering goodies like a lotion bar, goat's milk soap. Sherry will pick a few things out and I'm sure the winner will be pleased. I've been working on The Advent Scarf by Trisha Weatherston, who is Zemi on Ravelry and who's a regular at my local yarn store, Mountain Knits and Pearls. She has designed this year's Advent scarf and several previous years as well. This year's scarf, as I mentioned in previous podcasts, is stranded knitting, with which I had very little experience, but now, having completed day 16 of the scarf, I feel much more accomplished with my stranded knitting. I'm using a US size 2 circular needle, and I'm using Harrisville Designs Shetland in 3 colors, hemlock, golden, and winter white. I know it's the 22nd, and I said I just finished day 16. It's been a little bit of a challenge keeping up with every day of the pattern. Most days there are 15 rows in the chart, and then a 3-row divider pattern that's completed every day. Sometimes, however, there are snowflake designs. These are my favorite because They're aesthetically stunning and they just look so cool worked up in the two colors. However, those patterns are 27 rows and it takes me more than one day to complete them. I'm also using up a little bit more yarn than anticipated, so I think I will be completing this scarf, whatever step I'm on, just before Christmas, and I plan to give it to my mom as a Christmas gift. There are a couple different finishing options because it's a tube of a scarf. There's a pattern chart, but it's repeated twice, so there are 90 stitches in the round. It's pretty substantial as a scarf. I hope it softens up a little bit when I wash it and block it. Right now, I'm planning to complete the scarf with a ribbed edging that will sort of close the tube in. And I think the dark green hemlock color will be the most practical color to end with because that won't show dirt. And I think the ends of your scarf are the ones that tend to get dirty. I don't plan to put fringe on the scarf, just end it with a ribbed edging at the bottom. And I'll post photographs of the Advent scarf and other things that I talk about on today's podcast on the blog on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Off the shelf. I know it isn't Christmas yet, but I did exchange a few gifts with folks at my school, and I received two books. They were both in the back of my mind as something that I was interested in reading, and so I was so pleased and so thrilled that my colleagues know me as well as they do. And give as gifts books that I was really thinking about reading. The first is from my supervisor and my crochet teacher that I've talked about on the podcast before. It's Knitting Yarns, a collection of writing about knitting or writing inspired by knitting, edited by Anne Hood. It features a wide array of authors and also some patterns I didn't realize when I knew about knitting yarns earlier that it also had patterns in the book. And the cover is just lovely. It's so inviting and it's really great bedside table reading because the pieces are short and you could read them in one sitting either before going to bed or waking up in the morning before getting out of bed. That's my favorite thing about a holiday break is, yes, there's lots to do, but most of the time I don't have to be on the road by a certain hour. And so just waking up naturally and then being able to lounge around in bed reading for a little bit is such a luxury. This morning, it was so foggy and so dark that I woke up. It was nearly 8 a.m., and it seemed like it was 5 o'clock in the morning. It was so dark. The other book that I was given is Mastering the Art of Soviet Cooking, a memoir of food and longing by Anya von Bremzen. I think I mentioned in one of my first podcasts that I like audio podcasts a lot and I listen to Good Food from KCRW and The Splendid Table. And they often mention food memoirs on the show. I'm always listening and always interested in reading some of the works they talk about. And one that really stuck with me is this Mastering the Art of Soviet Cooking. This was a gift from my colleague, Dr. Tom Smock, who knows me and my reading tastes so well. Both he and his wife have read the book, and he made a gift of it for me. I'm already several pages into the book, and I love Anya von Bremzen's style of writing. It's incredibly rich. It reads in many places like poetry. I think that comes from her upbringing, and also from this idea that often what she's writing about and reflecting on is a lack of food, food shortages, and food longings. Perhaps some of the richness in her style of writing is there in part to make up for the longings that she has. I don't know if that's necessarily an intentional part of her style, but the contrast, even as early in the reading as I am, is incredibly noticeable. That she's writing about deficits and shortages, and that her style is dense and thick and rich with her language and word choice and the rhythms that she puts into her sentences. So this is incredibly enjoyable reading, and I'm glad to have many days to myself to be able to sink into all of this reading. Ever-expanding skill set. This week I discovered a new word, and it's been all over the internet because Clara Parks discovered and started posting about this Danish word, hygge. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, and it's pronounced hygge. That's the best pronunciation I can do after doing a little bit of my research. Clara Parks included it in the most recent issue of The Knitter's Review. It's a Danish word that roughly translates to cozy. However, the whole point of talking about this word is that there really is not a direct translation in English, because the Danish concept of hygge is something that we have a hard time wrapping our heads around, especially in the United States. Denmark is known as one of the world's happiest countries, even though its very northern position means that there is not very much daylight, and it's a struggle for folks to keep their spirits up, especially during the winter months. The answer to this in Danish culture is hygge, this manner of cultivating friendly, warm companionships and a cozy, warm, inviting atmosphere. I'm fascinated by this because it seems like this is exactly the word to identify the feeling I have about Yin Hu, and also the feeling that I try to bring to my home during the holidays or any time when I'm inviting guests into my home. Yin Hu being a replica of a Chinese tea pavilion is constructed with the concept of feng shui very much in mind. And so its position in the natural world against a creek and against a pretty steep incline of trees, its many, many windows, its porch that wraps all the way around, the way one room moves into the next, has a very particular snugness, but at the same time, an openness. And it can be difficult to describe that feeling, but it's always pleasurable. And the pleasure comes, I think, from contrasts, from the idea that, well, it just seems to me that being cozy or feeling cozy is also an acknowledgement that there's cold and lonely on the outside of that. That the feeling of being cozy is in part the knowledge that you're not cold and lonely. NPR asked a photographer to select some photographs to indicate this feeling or spirit of hayuga. And what I noticed about the photographs, because they were quite diverse, is that most of them offered some kind of very high contrast. For example, a photograph of candles in a very otherwise dark environment. Folks gathered around a fire and other indications in the image that it was very cold and that it was winter. A group of people gathered together very intimately, but in a very wide landscape that seemed desolate. Well, a pileated woodpecker just flew in and landed in the tree that's directly above me. I hope you were able to hear that. And now he's pretty quiet, hopping around in the tree. This is such a great view. He's right above me. I don't know if you'll be able to hear him pecking or not. Oh. Off he flew to another tree. Well, back to this hygge, I think contrast is a very important part of the concept. The last thing I have to say about hygge is my idea that the anticipation of gathering together with friends, of being warm and cozy and sharing something with others, is sometimes almost as gratifying as the being together and having the moment itself. And I think that's what we're talking about when we talk about the spirit of Advent, is the sense of the anticipation. The anticipation of the thing is as important as the thing itself in this period of looking forward to a magnificent event. Is really important for our feeling of well-being. The front porch. I don't have any new projects ready to go because my first priority right now is to complete all things having to do with Christmas. And now I have the added task of sewing on labels. One of my Rhinebeck purchases was a set of labels from It's Mine. They are sew-on labels. They arrived in the mail and they're very nice. I selected something very simple, black thread on a white background. They arrived, and so now, into all of the hand knits that I'm giving for Christmas, I need to sew in a label for the recipient. That's on the front porch, and I hope to finish all of that before I give the gifts away. Double happiness. One of the pleasures of the weekend or an extended break like this Christmas holiday break is the ability to lounge around, have a second cup of coffee, and have some breakfast. I'm not very big on breakfast. Usually my morning meal happens about 11 a.m. or later if I'm home on the weekends. And my favorite thing to make is avocado toast. It's incredibly simple, and it's something I ordered when Samuel and I stayed at the Jane Hotel in New York City and went downstairs to Café Jetain, which is a French Moroccan cafe, for some breakfast. And not being an eggs and bacon and sausage kind of person, this avocado toast looked very appealing. Ever since I had it, I've been recreating it at home. What you do is you scoop out all of the flesh of an avocado and you mash it together with quite a bit of salt and quite a bit of lemon juice. So it's a nice, soft, spreadable paste of avocado. You spread that on top of a toasted piece of whole grain bread, and then you give it a splash of very high quality olive oil and a sprinkling of roughly ground pink peppercorns. I grind my pink peppercorns in a mortar and pestle. It's very festive looking. I was thinking it's particularly festive for the holidays because of the pinkish red of the peppercorns and the green avocado. Culinarily, it's a very intriguing combination because the avocado is very rich and the peppercorns are very fruity and vibrant. They almost have a floral aroma. This is different than just using red pepper flakes. Pink peppercorns have a completely different flavor profile. This is what I'll be enjoying when I head back to Yinhu after my little recording session along the Delaware River. The sky has brightened just a little bit, and the air is getting increasingly warmer. I can still hear the ducks and the geese along the river. And the woodpecker, I think, has flown away. I don't see him hopping around in the trees anymore. I hope you've enjoyed the ambiance of sounds along the Delaware River. And I wish everyone a very magical winter solstice and a happy Christmas. See you next week.